The Money Show.
The Markets.
Graham Kerner with a Kerner perspective. I mean, just we're getting the perspectives this evening of Business Unity South Africa, Paul Tarrant at Vestact, Isam Tlanga at Alexander Forbes, and Fazam Asani at the cryptocurrency trading platform Valor.com. And everybody's deeply concerned. Paul Tarrant is putting a brave face on it, of course, and saying you're mad to sell your shares at these levels. Not that they can't go lower. Johan Rupert today was cautioning, saying don't catch falling knives. He says, I suspect a lot more bad news will emerge, like a lack of liquidity in exchange-traded funds created for illiquid underlying securities for people chasing yield. Something mispriced, like credit, is always abused. And tragically, this is the perfect storm. He summarizes it well. He should be the chairman of a global luxury goods maker, which fell itself 10% today.
And an investment holding company, I think what he's saying is fundamentally right. I was talking to a friend who's got better insight into the flows into passive investments, because for a while now we've been saying passive is great when money's flowing into the system and when everything's going well, but then suddenly when markets start turning negative, then people start saying, okay, well, maybe we should cash in, or we want to panic out. And, and you look at the lack of liquidity in some of those counters, it can be quite painful. And if I may, I actually agree in with both Paul and Johan. In that I think you mustn't go rushing in and say, right, I plan to buy 6% in Standard Bank and 6% in Absa and, 8% in Naspers. I'm going to do them tomorrow because the market's fallen. I agree with Johan there. You've got to be judicious. But I think Paul's point is well made. Our market, got written down, then it got written down again, and then we got, the coronavirus write down. So I think our market is looking really very, very cheap. And what I would like to say, if I may, if you look at a company like Standard Bank, for example, 0.35% of the register traded today, and at one point in time it was down, I think, about 7%. The point that I'm trying to make is less than 0.33% of the shares exchanged hands, and shares were...
The vast majority of people are sitting tight, is your point, and there is, on the margin, there is broad panic, which is leading to these whiplash sort of moves.
Correct. And I think a lot of people are taking Johan Rupert's view and saying, okay, well, we don't know what we don't know. We don't know how bad it's going to get. Let's hang back. But we were nibbling a little bit this afternoon, and we were saying, well, you know what, if you believed in Standard Bank at $180, for example, the world's changed a little bit. But, we're not going to fall in a big hole at such that, suddenly Standard Bank is worth 120 rand. So my sense is that there are bargains, and nobody rings the bell or phones you and says, oh, by the way, the market is about to bottom, or, Standard Bank or Anglo American or Naspers is about to reach its turn. You need to start buying. You do need to start putting a toe in the water, but focus on the businesses that are more defensive, more predictable, and where the valuations are already heavily beaten down.
Here's the concern, though, and why we're seeing this mass capitulation on markets is because there's this pandemic-driven global panic. There's going to be a recession. And it's becoming more likely by the day, because you see the flow of goods, the flow of services.
Sure.
You see people facing increasing restrictions on their movements. And suddenly it feels like if the arteries of the global economy are so clogged with cholesterol that it's not going to take much for a piece to break off and either cause a stroke or a heart attack.
Yeah. For a long time now, I've been saying U.S. markets are overvalued, and everybody's been at the Jerome Powell Kool-Aid Bowl and drinking, until the saccharin levels were overflowing. And unfortunately, there was a sense in the U.S. we're bulletproof, we Teflon coated. Don't worry about the valuations. Don't worry about sort of fairly pedestrian earnings growth. So clearly the spooking of the U.S. economy and the spooking of U.S. markets is taking everybody with them. My point is, European equities are often trading at half the valuations of their U.S. counterparts. Coming back to what I was saying, our market has been marked down and marked down again. So it's not like we prime for perfection. That's the first thing. The second thing is, people still have to eat. People will travel, in cars. And so people continue to, the economy continues. It does go at a slower pace.
Yeah, I mean, people travel in cars. They just might not buy new cars, which is perhaps why Palladium fell by $400. $86 an ounce, while platinum was down by $85 an ounce.
Okay, so if you look at the graph of palladium, that tells you why the palladium price fell by $400.
Again, because it went a bit like one of Elon Musk's rockets, but an unreusable one. It was going stratospheric.
Yeah, so very tight conditions. Everybody, again, around the Kool-Aid bowl, and what goes up in a straight line often comes down in a straight line. But I think the point is that the price of palladium just went completely moll.
It's a technical term,
and it's now correcting. And the fact that the coronavirus obviously has caused a lot of confusion. And yeah, so the reality is the global economy will probably be in recession in 2020. Initially, China and Korea and parts of Europe, and second half probably more around the US and other parts of Europe. But it doesn't mean the whole global economy comes to a grinding halt. And that's where I differ with the gentleman from Alex Forbes. We don't need a complete solution before we'll get going again. Markets hate uncertainty. And right now there's just absolute panic and there's no liquidity. That's why a share can fall. Even if you take Sasol, it was down over 40% today, but only 3% of the register traded. So,
and Sasol then did issue a statement late this afternoon to say, okay, everybody, we should possibly have come out with a statement sooner. but because their share price has fallen 95% over the last year. I mean, it's just the most extraordinary destruction of value on Sasol. They basically said they're not about to collapse. They're not about to fall over. They're not about to default on their debts or breach their debt covenants. They've got enough money to run until June, even at this low oil price.
Yeah. So I think they're talking about circa 580, which obviously was when those calculations were done, that they won't breach the covenants, and that they've got access to funding of $2.5 billion. So basically, and then not a massive debt repayment problem until May 2021. So, you know, truthfully, Sasol has been mismanaged for a long time. The fact that those oil hedges weren't put in, we were actually asking the IR people a few months ago, because for years they've told us they need to hedge because they need to match the cash flows, and they got the debt and they got the capex. When they needed it most, they decide to hedge ethane and the currency, but they don't hedge oil. Reality is people should be fired. The statement did a lot of good. It went from $30 to, I think, almost $38 in the close. And my sense is the mood will be a lot calmer in Sasol tomorrow.
I suspect you're right. Quick one. Today we saw the European Central Bank announce some stimulus measures. They didn't cut interest rates. They're probably keeping that as a last resort. Yesterday, the Bank of England cut by 50 basis points. Last week, the US Fed cut by 50 basis points. I saw a comment today from BNP Paribas, their economist, a guy called Jeff Schultz, saying he's not expecting anything too aggressive from the South African Reserve Bank, but does expect three short, sharp cuts. So over the next 6 months, three cuts of 25 basis points. That seems like a reasonable expectation.
So I was really hoping Daniel Manelio last night would give us, definitive 50 bips at least, and then another 225s. But he sort of slipped.
He's
out
a banker now.
He's got to stay in the good books of the governor.
But of his regulator, yes.
But I think the point is that oil at $34, there's going to be massive disinflation in the short term. There's a very, very strong case for us to cut by 50 bips next week. And then, follow it up. But, again, Bruce, we're looking to the central bankers to solve all our problems. The reality is it's only the fiscal authorities that can really do this. And there, Donald Trump has got a $1.1 trillion deficit for this year. It's not like they've got money, coming out of their pockets and can throw a lot of stimulus at the economy. We've got to work through this. That's the reality. This feels to me in some ways worse than 2008. And it's not nice to see share prices go down 20% or, 10 or 15% on really good companies. But that's life.
It is, unfortunately. Life in the fast lane. Or is it fast? It's not life in the fast lane. It's life in oncoming traffic. Thank you, Graham Koerner, with a Koerner perspective this evening.